Hey, hey, welcome. And it's Monday night. And we're going to have a little fun tonight. Just let me post a couple to make sure that people are getting it. And this is a great opportunity for you to be posting as well. There we go. Yeah, it's a great opportunity. Because it's a good idea to post. This is how we get the message out, how we share, how people get to hear it and get stretched, get a chance to listen to it, and cause them to think. So it's all about thinking for yourself, checking things out, searching a matter out, researching, seeing what's, you know, really out there for you. So, boom. Just like that. Okay. All right. So, I just like to welcome people, those that are going to come on now, and those that will be on post after the recording of the program. So, I'm going to make a few announcements right now. The Journey HCM can be found later at www.hcm-strafford.org. So when you go there, it's our website. So you're able then to check us out, see a little bit about us, check previous programs that we've got, and just lots of different things there. So also there's a donate button there. If you want to support this ministry, then you're able to donate there or give an offering there. And it goes through PayPal, which is a secure site. So there you are, hcm-strafford.org or .com will get you there as well. Also, we are on different platforms. We are on Spotify, Amazon Music, iTunes, iHeartRadio, just different Podomatic, different platforms for audio and also for video. You can hear us and see us at YouTube and also on Facebook and on The Journey. So I will give you the there's the YouTube channel, which is www.youtube.com/GGrace and TTruth, JBBrown. So you're able to go there. I'll leave it for a second. And you're able to check us out there. There's a whole catalog, I think 170 or 173 now maybe. Messages, different podcasts on different subjects that you're able to check out. And that's the whole point, right? Is the point of it is intimacy, get closer to the Lord and to understand some of the things He's wanting us to take us on this journey, right? So I will move these out of the way, and all right. So this morning, I'm going to start by something he said this morning to me. He said, love needs to come in to you before it can flow out. It's not about information. It's not about talking somebody into something. It's about experiencing the love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. So we need to be filled with the love of God, thereby able to give it away. We can only give away what we've been given. And so it's important, he said, love needs to come in to you as an experience before it can flow out of you. So let me start with this scripture tonight. Philippians 1:21 says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now, that's a really interesting scripture. If you're like me, you thought it meant that if I was living and following Jesus, Christ, and if I died, it'd be gain because I'm going to heaven, right? And I'm with Jesus now. But that's not what that passage is about. That'd be the literal sense of it. And there's truth in it, but that's not what Paul's talking about. He's saying, for me to live is Christ, and to die, because remember, Yeshua was crucified on the skull. Golgotha is the skull, the mind of man, carnality. He's showing us the way. We must die to carnality in order to live for Christ. So they see they both are the same thing. They're both telling us the way. Example, in John 1, 4 and 5, it says, "In him was life." Okay, so what life was in Jesus? Christ, the Christ life. Remember, Christ isn't Jesus' last name. He is the Christ, the head of the corporate body. So he's telling us, in him was the Christ life. So for me to live, it's Christ. I need that Christ life. And the life was the light of men. So the light is the revelation that comes out of the life of Christ in us to carry us back to the Father. Because remember, life is Zoe. Abundant life is Zoe life. Incorruptible, indestructible, uncreated immortality. And the really crazy thing is that Jesus says the Father commands eternal life. So if you're wondering if God wants you to recognize that you're immortal, he does. He commands it. So this is the will of the Father. So in him was life. The life was the light of men, Christ's life. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness apprehended it not. So if you're in carnality, you're in darkness, and you're not apprehending the light. It's what these scriptures are telling us. It's kind of like Prince in Purple Rain. The song Purple Rain is about purple is royalty. It's about Jesus ruling and reigning. And Prince says, "I don't want to be your weekend lover, just your weekend lover." What's he talking about? I don't want to just go to church on Sundays. I want to know you. Even Prince started to see and understand this. It's the life of Christ. Not simply the dogma that we've been given. So this message tonight is called Betrayal. And you're going to find it very interesting, as in the picture of the two women, two different girls, you're going to start to see that we have a choice. Those two girls are the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life, the Christ. One is spirit, one is carnality, one is mind of man. It's the same thing. Or the mind of God, called the mind of Christ. And listen to what, this is incredible. Listen to this. In the Gospel of Mary Magdalene, chapter 3, starting at verse 3, the Savior said, "There is no sin, but it is you who make sin when you do the things that are like the nature of adultery." Oh, which is called sin. The nature of adultery. So he says, this is why the good came into your midst, to the essence of every nature in order to restore it to its root, reconciliation. Then he continued and said, that is why you become sick and die, for you are deprived of the one who can heal you. He who has a mind to understand, let him understand. He's not talking about the mind of man, carnality. He's talking about the mind of Christ. He who has that mind, understand what I'm saying. This whole thing of adultery, we're going to understand it much better as I go along. Okay, matter gave birth to a passion which has no image because it derives from what is contrary to nature, the nature of spirit. A disturbing confusion then occurred in the whole body. That is why I told you, he says, be content at the heart. Oh. While also remaining discontent and disobedient, then occurred in the whole body. Meaning, don't follow that carnality. That is why I told you, he says, become content at heart, while also remaining discontent and disobedient. Indeed, become contented and agreeable only in the presence of the other image of nature called spirit. Remember, the good came to restore everything to its original nature. Anyone who has two ears capable of hearing should listen. Now, again, he's not talking about one and two ears. He's talking about these are ears in the physical, but there's ears in the spirit. And that's what he means. Again, he's saying you should listen. He's talking about two natures or two women for us to understand, because the Bible is written a lot about marriage and adultery, which has nothing to do with what we think it does. It's got to do with this. Example, here's Hosea. Then the Lord said to me, go and love your wife again, even though she commits adultery with another lover. This will illustrate that the Lord still loves Israel, even though the people have turned to other gods and love to worship them. Now, what it's talking about in another translation, it says, lovers of grape cakes or wine. In other words, they're intoxicated by carnality, by this other woman, the carnal. That's where we have gone astray and where we have committed adultery to the Lord. To the Lord. Because we're, and that's why he used Hosea to reveal this to us, using the situation of a woman. But he was talking about the spirit and himself. Our natural nature. Natural nature. If we look at Jeremiah 1-5, it says, verse 5 says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, so you were alive. Before you came into this dimension, fell into this third dimension. And before you were born, I consecrated you. He's talking about Jeremiah, but he's talking about you and I as well. I've appointed you as a prophet to the nations. So we were before in the spirit. And we committed, he's using an allegorical picture for us, we committed adultery by turning to the carnal mind in our own understanding and following that. And he calls out, we've committed adultery with another woman. That's what he's showing. And now he breaks it down a little more in John chapter 6, 63. He says, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no benefit. The words I've spoken to you are spirit and are life. The Christ life, the light of man, to show us the way. Where did he go? He went to Golgotha, the skull, to show us that the mind had to be crucified. You had to turn away and be restored. Now, the thing is, he showed us in Hosea that he goes, even though she committed adultery with another lover, he would receive her back, which was a picture, he goes, to illustrate I'll return you to myself. I'll return you to myself. Again, in Romans 8, verse 6, for the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the Ruah, the Spirit, is life and peace. Shalom. Shalom. Whenever he uses the words flesh, he's not talking about this body. He's talking about the carnal mind, the carnal thoughts, the reasoning of the mind without following the heart, which is the Spirit, and knowing the truth. That's why we have to be remarried. That's why in Genesis you see Eve removed, and then in the book of Revelations you see a marriage. What's being married? Us once again to the Spirit, to the Lord, and being removed from our relationship. But that goes on right here, right now. The book of Revelations is a play-by-play of your journey to know Christ. In fact, the very beginning of the book of Revelation says, this is the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Where? In you. It's a journey. It's not a play-by-play of the end of the world, as we've been told by the dogma. That's not truth. That's just a fear tactic that keeps people controlled in the masses. We're to wake up. Okay, so remember what John said, John the Baptist. Change your mind, metanoia, from carnal to Christ. Because the mindset in the flesh is death. Everybody's dying. But the mindset in the Ruah is life. That is the Christ life. Romans 12, 2. Be not conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your, what, mind, metanoia, for you're proving what is the will of God, the good and acceptable and perfect. Now, we've talked about this before. The transforming of the mind, right, by the living word of God, brings us into this place. Remember I said that there are language is incredible once you start seeing the words. So, for instance, when it says perfect day, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect, that's atop of Jacob's ladder. That's entering into Romans chapter 8. That's entering into the eighth day, which is the new beginning, coming back, being restored. So the perfect day, the seventh day, completion, you see, 7 days in a week, seven candles on the candelabra, seven candlesticks in the book of Revelations. It's all language, picture language, to tell you the journey into completion. What's completion? To be restored to who you originally are, to the original nature of who you are, called Spirit. You're a spiritual being of light and love, having a human experience. And we turned to another lover, which is carnality, living from the outside in instead of the inside out, and controlled by the five senses. So Jesus had to come, show us at the perfect time he came. It says at the fullness of the time he came to reveal the way as us for us, to show us the way, to bring us into the truth. What? All truth. Which takes you where? Into the life. Romans 6, Romans 7, Romans 8. Life, abundant life, Zoe life, incorruptible, indestructible, uncreated. Okay. So the perfect is what the will of God is. He commands eternal life. Our Bibles consistently use the noun transfiguration with regard to Jesus, but transformation when it comes to us as Christians. And yet, it's one and the same verb. It's a verb, and they're one and the same. Transliterated, metamorphosed. That's used in those places in the original text. In the original text, they're the same word, and they mean metamorphosis, to go from a caterpillar to a butterfly, to go from mortal to immortal, up Jacob's ladder, into Romans 8, into the life of God. So, what is the connection between the transfiguration of Christ and our transformation? As the Banner of Truth website says, Heuel's new book shows how the divine can penetrate the human without destroying it, as in the person of Christ, as Yeshua came to show, and how the human can become conformed to the divine without it ceasing to be a human, as in the case of the Christian. So that kind of metamorphosis accords and exalts the Christian gospel over any kind of humanism or other culture. It's showing us the way. Galatians 6, and I'm using scriptures here and other things, and I'll use some of my own experiences to show this so that we kind of get a grip on seeing this, that it's not just John's pizza dream. But I use the scripture as God brings revelation to me through the scripture to understand these things so we can see how it unfolds. And then you can go and search a matter out for yourself to see if it be so. Ask him about it. Ask him where you are on the ladder. See what he tells you. Okay. Galatians 6. For the one who sows in the flesh will reap corruption from the flesh. But the one who sows in the Ruah will reap from the Ruah eternal life, immortality. Colossians 3:2, set your sights on things above, not on things on the earth. What's he talking about? He's not talking in the sky. He's not into a place we've created called heaven, but he's talking in the spirit. The things above are spirit. Earth is carnal. That's what it's language again. They're just words. It's carnal. That's what the earthly is. Heavenly is spirit. Now, does it mean that there's not a place? Of course there is. There's many heavens. It says God created the heavens and the earth. So there's more than one because there's seven steps on the ladder. These are dimensions. They're dimensions, which maybe we go into that someday. The dimensions, frequencies. You know, you turn the channel on the radio, you go to another channel, you don't hear the old channel, right? It's all here. Heaven's here. Heaven's inside. It's a state of being because we are light beings and filled with light and love. Blood is congealed light, slowed down light is what it is, in a slowed down realm. All right. Set your sight on things above. That's what we're doing here. Ephesians 4:23, be renewed in the spirit of your understanding. Your spirit is understanding. That's what I'm doing. It's quickening us to something else besides what we've learned. So the first time this kind of happened to me, where it kind of blew my mind, was in 1976 or so. I watched a movie from 1962, called The Day of the Triffids, which a man was in the hospital with his eyes covered when a meteor shower caused most of the people in the world to be blind, except this man. He'd been in the hospital with his eyes bound, and he leaves the hospital with his eyesight, not realizing most could not see. And then his experience in a world of blindness. I just was hit with this thing because I'd had the car accident in 74. And so I was hit with this thing about Jesus. It was like, oh my gosh. I couldn't imagine how incredible he is that he could see. See, he sees in the spirit. And he came into a world that was totally blind in darkness. Watching that movie just impacted me at what he did. It's Yeshua coming into the earth for us. so we could follow him out and back into our original nature. And then one time in around 2010, I think, an elder in our church had a dream or a vision, I can't remember exactly which, where he came, he saw a tree, and I was standing off the tree, off the branch in the air, and an intern I had was hanging on the end of the branch, and he, the elder, was part of the tree or woven into the trunk of the tree. Now that sounds pretty crazy, doesn't it? But if you think about this, it speaks of when you come to know there's a God and Jesus is your Savior, you're still in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil where we fell. And that's where we build religion out of a carnal mind. We create a thing called religion. It, in fact, was created for us, but it has a form of godliness, Paul said, but it denies the person and the experience of the Creator on a moment-to-moment basis in our lives. We build this thing, and we think that's it. So we're in the tree still. We've become awake that there's a God. We've come awake that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And it's a beautiful thing, and people have powerful experiences. I did. But we don't know yet the difference, because we just got woke up in Romans chapter 6. So then it says, it's not until we leave or die to that tree and become grafted into the tree of life. That's when we start to bear fruit of the Spirit. Become aware of Christ, our life, in the Father. Christ, our life, that's in the Father. That's why Yeshua came. Jesus, for us Greeks, that's why he came, was to give us the Christ life, to return us to our original nature. That's why the good came in the Mary Magdalene, right? What a picture. What a picture he had of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil and how we had to leave it. It was just an incredible picture. Then, over the years, I was learning about the tree of life, but always still seemingly looking for truth through carnality, not knowing it, trying to understand. So now I'm got COVID in 2020. I'm about to go to the hospital because I'm in rough shape. And the Lord starts speaking to me, and he says to me, John, I told you not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but to eat from the tree of life. He said, the world and most of the church is eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So he took this time to explain to me that if I think that by sifting through this stuff, trying to find the needle in the haystack, which I did, I'm a seeker. I want to know the truth because that truth will bring me closer to him. It'll make me free. Remember the way? The truth will bring me into life, which is where freedom is. So I'm pursuing the truth to come into intimate contact in a powerful way, like Moses, like Elijah, right? Like John, with Jesus. He's telling me, John, stop that. So he's rebuking me in love because he knows I keep going back to the dog's vomit. Don't do that. Don't do that. You're not going to find it there. You can't find truth in carnality. Stop that. So I began to recognize, like Paul the Apostle in Galatians 3:1, he says, you foolish Galatians, what kind of witchcraft? In other words, who's bewitched you? He goes, what kind of witchcraft has come amongst you? And he's not talking the devil with the pitchfork here, or the warts on the nose and the black pointy hat. It's not what he means. And that's our creation of it. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. You seen him, Paul said, crucified on Golgotha, telling you carnality has to die. Publicly, that's what he's saying. Portrayed is like a portrait, like a picture. That was a living picture, is what he's saying. It's a portrait, a living picture. This is where you must die to this thing and be born again of the Spirit. Again, because you were spirit in the beginning before the fall, and you returned to it. Reconciliation. Restored. Put back an original condition this is talking about. Then he goes, this is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, you're now being perfected by the carnality, by the flesh, by your works, by your understanding? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Paul's being really strong here, telling us, don't do that. Just like Jesus speaking to me, going to the hospital in 2020, John, who's bewitched you? Why do you think you can learn from there? It's spirit. Every time something bad's going on around us, the sky is falling Chicken Little. And out come the prophets. Come on. Either the Creator is omniscient or he's not. You choose. Is he omniscient? If he is omniscient, then you need to understand you're not just floating in the air. Like, what was that dust blowing in the wind? You're more than dust blowing in the wind. The Creator is for us. If God be for you, who can be against you? God is a God of unconditional love. Paul knew him. In fact, think about this. Intimacy means experience. Not carnal knowledge about something. This is the difference between spirit and carnality. Heaven and earth. That's the difference. Intimacy. Into me see, God says. Into me see. Intimacy. So where are we? Well, we're in the matrix. It's called Babylon. And the language is from the Tower of Babel, bringing Babel, which is confusion and illusion, from the mind of man, not the divine reality from the mind of Christ. What is the matrix and what is divine reality? They're two different realms. One created by the mind of man from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which causes duality, right? Me and God, and thereby separation. Heaven's way up there somewhere where God is on a chair. Like the nature of adultery, Jesus said, which is called sin. A lie. Jesus said, it's like adultery. Or falling another lover. Prince said, I don't want to be just a weekend lover. The other is a divine reality, which is the mind of Christ from the tree of life, which causes sacred unity, which leads us into all truth, which is the Zoe of Father, the very immortal, uncreated life of Abba. There's a kingdom in darkness, which is a low frequency based in fear, and the kingdom of light, which is a high frequency based in the unconditional love of God. Allah is the word in the scripture that they use for God, which means sacred unity in our Father. We are one in Him. It's amazing. It's amazing. And I'm getting right along there. It's amazing if you think about this. Sacred unity in our Father, whose unconditional love. We need to see the whole of the human race turn to this. Not judging one another. Not creating 42,000 denominations. You can believe different than me. You're strong enough and powerful enough to do that, and it doesn't bother me a bit. We have that thing called free will. If God gave you free will, then why would I try to take it away and pinhole you into some religion, or my belief for that matter? You need to commit to intimacy with the Creator, know Him, and let Him lead you to the perfect day. Your journey will be different than my journey, but there'll be quite a lot of similarities, because divine reality is divine reality. Doesn't matter where we go. Okay, Proverbs. Let your fountain be blessed. Listen to what Solomon says. Let your fountain be blessed. Rejoice in the wife of your youth, like a loving dove or a graceful mountain goat. Mountain goat, Moses went up the mountain. These are pictures. Jesus was transfigured on the top of a mountain. Again, it's an ascension. It's what it's telling us in the picture. The picture is language. So you look at the picture and the revelation comes of what it is. A mountain goat. He's up on the mountain. And it says, let her breasts satisfy you at all times. Be exhilarated always with her love. For why should you, my son, be exhilarated with an adulteress and embrace the breasts of a foreigner? For the ways of everyone are before the eyes of the Lord, and He observes all His paths. Now, this is a powerful revelation by an incredibly wise man called Solomon, who's telling us that as you ascend on the mountain, as you come up Jacob's ladder, you need to recognize that it's God's that's the multi-breasted one that's feeding you in the beginning the milk from His breast. It's Him feeding you revelation. Remember the light? The life of Christ is the light of man. He's giving you a place to eat. It's funny when I had the vision of the open vision in 1978. The thing I felt that I was like a baby at my mother's breast when I was in this wide open living vision with God. I was like a baby at my mother's breast, and I felt completely helpless and yet totally comforted. What was He saying to me? I'm going to feed you, son. I'm going to teach you how to eat from the tree of life. Come. Don't eat from the breasts of an adulteress. You see it? There it is again. Just like in Hosea, it's all there telling us. Just like in the Gospel of Mary Magdalene. It's like the nature of adultery. He's using it as pictures. It's picture language we're talking here. Now, St. John of the Cross, he put it like this. He was a mystic from the 1500s in Spain. I'm not reading the whole thing. I'm just giving you a glimpse of it, of what it's like this. He goes, there He gave me His breast. There the Father gave me His breast. There He taught me a sweet and living knowledge. Not information. Not from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, from the carnal mind of man. But a living, the living word. There the living revelation began to hit him. That's what he's now drinking at the breast of the Father. And I gave myself to him, keeping nothing back. There I promised, you ready? To be his bride. Book of Revelation, see? He was letting go of what he knew through Catholicism, and he was now coming into this intimate place, intimacy, with the Father, telling you now where he was going. We have to ask ourselves, where are we receiving? Whose breast? The breast of the Spirit? Or have we committed adultery at another breast called carnality? Where are we getting life and sustenance? Where is it? Matthew says, I'm almost there. In Matthew, he goes, you've been given the intimate experience, there it is, intimate experience of insight into the hidden mysteries of the realm of heaven's kingdom. But they have not. For everyone who listens with an open heart, there it is, heart, spirit, will receive what? Progressively more revelation until he has more than enough. Progressive revelation. That's Proverbs 4, I believe it is, where it says that the path of the righteous is like from the dawn of the day to the fullness of the day. Fullness of the day of the Lord, the perfect day, the seventh day. You see, it's all language. It's the same place. It's where Moses went to the top of the mountain. It's where Jesus was transfigured and was showing he was totally immortal at that point. Totally immortal. So you see, progressive revelation. But those who don't listen with an open, teachable what? Heart. Not your mind. Your heart. Even the understanding they think they have will be taken away from them. That's why I teach the people using parables, because they think they're looking for truth. Yet because their hearts are unteachable, they never discover it. Although they will listen to me, they never fully perceive the message I speak. Wow. They never fully understand him. They're unteachable. We cannot be unteachable. We cannot put a walls around ourselves in religion, denominationalism, dogmatism. We need to listen to the voice of Christ, the voice of the Father speaking to us. We need to hear that voice leading us up the ladder to the top of the mountain, like Moses, seeing the Father face to face, no riddles, no more riddles, face to face, boom. That's where we're being called. That's where we're being called. If the eye were not of the nature of the sun, how could we behold light? If God's own power were not at work in us, how could divine things delight us? If we are delighted in divine things, then you know it's the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of the gospel that's bringing us. It's God himself wooing us like a lover because we've returned to him. We're now drinking from his breast and then eating meat, sitting at the table, right? Having communion, right? Common union, sacred unity, coming into that place, eat my flesh, drink my blood. The manna, the true manna, he's the bread of life. That's where we are. That's where we come to. If God's own presence, own power were not at work in us, how could divine things delight us? We wouldn't even be excited or delighted about them. We would just stay in dogma, whatever that might be. We'd be satisfied with sailing down the road like everybody else, heading to the grave, instead of realizing there's something totally else going on around us here, and we have an opportunity. I didn't say it's easy, but I'm laying it out scripturally for you so that you can look at it and decide for yourself, is this worth looking at? Is this really worth looking at? Should I really think for myself? What does it mean when he says he conceals a matter and it's the glory of kings to search a matter out? The Gospel of Thomas says this, when you have eyes in your eyes, a hand in your hand, foot in your foot, an icon in your icon, you will enter into the kingdom. I want to enter into the kingdom of God and live and move and have my being in him. But it's when I have eyes of the Spirit in these eyes. You see, that's all that's telling you. The same thing that Jesus talked about in the book of Mary Magdalene, the Gospel of Mary Magdalene, same thing. He says, when you have eyes, two eyes, and do you understand? He's saying the same thing. That's what he's calling us to. So, transfiguration is the transformation by the renewing, the metanoia of your mind. And that picture, I'm trying to find it. There it is. Of him standing entwined in the tree. That's where we've been living. But slowly, as my intern slowly was looking at these things and was up on the branch, still in the tree, but holding on to the branch, now wondering, should he follow? And me at that point was where God said, meet me outside the gate. Come on outside of your own understanding in the religions and follow me. You want to follow me? Of course, that's why I got in this. Well, then come outside. Come outside the gate. Follow me. So I was off the branch. But notice I wasn't yet grafted to the tree of life yet. That was in 2010. 14 years ago. God is so good. God is so good. Let's search a matter out together on this journey. Let's pursue like the salmon swimming the other direction, uphill, up against the currents, to a place where they would bring forth life. Not following everything else, the ways, but of death and destruction and corruption. Let's no longer search for needles in the haystack of confusion and illusion, listening to the language of Babel in Babylon. Let's return to he who is the source, the creator of all things. All things. Nothing exists outside of him. He is life itself. You see, Yeshua didn't live. He's life. He didn't exist. He is existence itself. Came amongst us and said, follow me, man. Follow me. I'm the way. I'm the truth. All truth. I'm the life. I am the life. The very existence, life. Zoe. Immortality. When he said, follow me, I'm the way. He's taking us within our minds, the skull, Golgotha, to be crucified to the adulteress, to the mind of man, to let go, If you die, you got to let go. You can't resurrect a dead body. You got to leave it there. And then follow the truth, the spirit of truth, the light. Where is it? It's inside you now. And it's going to lead us into all truth. And it will make you free. Bring you into life. The Father. Romans 6, Romans 7, Romans 8. The law of life in Christ, it says. That's where we're going. So I hope this stretches you a little tonight and causes you to search a matter out and enjoy the wine while you're dining. Amen? All right. We'll talk soon. Goodbye.